All right, go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 63. Sunday morning, we made a reference to verse 1. And in studying for that, I enjoyed reading the whole psalm. So I want us to look at it for the message tonight. David wrote this psalm. He penned this psalm. The Holy Spirit wrote it. David penned this psalm. It says that just under the title. It says, A Psalm of David. David was the son of his father Jesse. He was the stem, the offspring of Jesse. He was the shepherd of his father's sheep. He was the slayer of Goliath. He was the deliverer of the army of Israel. He was the anointed one of God. God said, he's a man after my own heart. Spiritually speaking, David represents Christ. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. But physically, David was a sinner just like you and me. He was helpless, poor, pitiful sinner just like every other man and woman on this earth. And David wrote this psalm at the time of his life when he was the king. It says that in verse 11, it says, But the king, lowercase k, speaking of himself, the king shall rejoice in God. So he wrote this at the time of his life when he was the king, but even though he was king, he was running for his life. He was in hiding. Spurgeon said this was probably written while David was fleeing from his own son, Absalom. Absalom was trying to take the throne and take his father's life in the process. So he's out in the wilderness and he's in hiding. And here's where he is. And I want us to understand this because it'll help us to really enter into what this psalm is saying. He is longing to go worship God. He's out in a foreign place, a foreign land. And his soul, we can tell by what he wrote, his soul is just hurting to go gather with the saints in the house of the Lord. And as I was writing this, I was thinking about the fact that we are so privileged to be here right now. We take it so for granted. This is our strength. This is our life. This is our lifeline. And we take it so for granted. David is out just longing to be with God's people. Be in the house where the Lord has chosen to put his name there. He feels spiritually parched and thirsty for the living God. And he's crying out to God in prayer. And this is what he's saying. Even though I'm physically hindered from publicly appearing before you and bowing before you with the saints in the sanctuary, even though I'm physically hindered, my heart bows before you right here, right now. In verse 1, he said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. No living water. No spiritual water. No water of the word. He said, there's no refreshment here. And can't we say the same thing here? There's no comfort here. There's no satisfaction out here. I feel lost. I feel alone. I feel dried up. A dry and thirsty land where no water is. Can we at all sympathize with that? Now, none of us have ever been in that physical condition. That physical condition that he was in. But all of us have been in that spiritual condition. I don't believe anyone here has ever had to flee the country and go into hiding for fear of his life being taken from him. Physically separated from the fellowship and the people, the worship of God. But there have been times when all of us have found ourselves to be out in the wilderness of sin. And we feel it often. Those times are often the wilderness of self. Do you ever feel like you're just stuck out in sin and self and just completely consumed? Just the wilderness of the flesh, the wilderness of the world, spiritually separated from the house and the worship and the fellowship of God. And you wish so badly that you could just fellowship with God. But it's just, you know what I'm talking about. It's miserable. I'm speaking from experience. It is miserable. It is a miserable place to be. We may be physically sitting right here in the pew, but spiritually separated from the true worship and fellowship of God. The wilderness is right here. It's right here. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. I do. And I'm ashamed to say it. But I do. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans 7 when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I find myself constantly running to and trying to stay and live in the wilderness of death." That's what this is. And that's what this is. Deadness, coldness, that dry, parched place of spiritual starvation. That's why he said, "I'm the chief of sinners." That's why he said that. It's because he knew what it felt like to spiritually be right here. And we do too. We do too. All of us have found ourselves, and we're going to find ourselves again. And this is why I pray the Lord might comfort our hearts in this. We have found ourselves, and unfortunately, we will find ourselves again in this dry and thirsty land, this wilderness of spiritual separation. And when we do, if we belong to Him, we're going to find ourselves there. And when we do, when that realization comes to us again and we realize, look at where I am, once again, when the realization of that parched thirst, that dryness, that separation of communion, when that comes to us again, what should we do? We should do the only thing that we can do. We should do the same thing David did. Cry out to God for help. Cry out to God for help. He said, "I'm coming to you about this. I'm going to seek help from the only place that I can find help, you. I'm coming to you about this." Verse 1, he said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." He said, "I'm coming to you." Verse 2, he said, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." He said, "Would you please show me again what you've shown me before?" What a thing to ask God. Really? What a thing to ask God. Would you please show me again what you've shown me before? You know, if we're going to see it, God has to show it to us. He has to give the light. He has to give the revelation of Himself. And what a thing to ask Him. Would you show me your power again? Would you show me your glory again? Would you let me see you now like you've allowed me to see you before? I tell you this, when you hear a message and your heart rejoices and you walk out of this place on cloud nine, it's because you saw Christ again. You saw His power again. You saw His glory again. You saw His work again. You saw Him. Lord, would you please let me see you again like you allowed me to see you before? Would you revive me right now in the midst of my years? And I mean right now. Would you revive me? Doesn't that sound like a common cry of ours? A common cry. It's one we cry constantly. Lord, please help me. Well, here's the good news for David, and here's the good news for us. And I want to very strongly encourage us to remember this and do this. It seems so obvious, but we're not naturally drawn to the obvious, spiritually obvious. So may the Lord remind us to remember this and to do this. When the realization of that terrible state comes, cry out to God for help. Cry out to God for help. Let's literally do that. Let's ask Him to restore the communion. Ask Him to restore the communion. Lord, please restore the communion. You know that state. You know this cold, dead state, indifferent. Our Lord Himself said it's not cold or hot. We know exactly what He's talking about. He said it's lukewarm. Let's ask Him, Lord, revive us, revive our spirit. Let's ask Him to send a flood of the water of the Word when it's so dry. Lord, it's so dry. It's so dry right here. Ask Him to send a flood of the water of the Word, because His promise to us in Christ, all of His promises are in Christ. And His promise to us in Christ is, if we ask, we will receive. That's His promise to us. Do you remember when, those of you who have seen His beauty and the Lord has revealed Himself to you, do you remember when you first started getting a hold of the gospel message? You remember when the gospel first started when that realization of what Christ had done for you, I mean really accomplished for you, you remember what that felt like? You remember how you couldn't wait to hear the next message? Wouldn't you love to have that again? Wouldn't we all love to truly, from the depths of our soul, praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, bow before Him, if we would ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to send a flood to the dry and thirsty land. Lord, I'm asking You to send a flood to the dry and thirsty land. We just sang, O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. We're always praying, Lord, would You send a revival? Lord, would You please send a revival? Lord, would You send a revival? Just if You do it in me, just start the work in me. Ask Him. Ask Him. We can approach His throne with boldness. We can ask any good thing in His name. Ask Him. Because the good news is, He said, if you ask, you will receive. You will. It's His promise to us. In Ezekiel 36, He told all of those glorious things that He would do for His people. He said, after they ask me for it. He said, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And then He said, in the next verses, He said, after they ask me, I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I'm the Lord. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to increase them. Once they ask of me, I'm going to do all this for them. He said, just ask me. Just ask me. Turn with me to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness, and that's where David said he was, and that's where we constantly are. It says, in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. He said, you strengthen my weak, feeble people who are dying of thirst out there in the wilderness. He knows where we are. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust, just dry dust. You tell them to behold their God. Tell them to cry out to their God and then just wait for Him to come save them. Verse 10 right here says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's the help David found. And that's the help that we'll find too. It's true help for God's true people. It really is. Go with me back to Psalm 63. Verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. He said, because of the condition that I'm in, that's what I'm going to do. That's the only thing that I can do. I'm going to seek You. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to bless You. And I'm going to lift up my hands to You. And I'm going to do that trusting. Verse 5, He said, that my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. Marrow and fatness, that's quite a change from dry and thirsty, isn't it? Again, he's talking about a spiritual state rather than a communion and a fellowship that's lean and parched. And let me say that again. Rather than a communion and a fellowship that is lean and parched, he said, my soul shall be filled with the health of marrow and fatness. What brings that marrow and fatness to the child of God? Seeing his power. This is what he asked to see. Seeing his power, seeing his glory, and seeing his loving kindness. And where do we see that? On the cross of Calvary. Right there on the cross of Christ, we see the power of God. Only God can forgive sins. Why did our Lord come and die? It was because only God could forgive sins. Right there on the cross of Christ, we see the glory of God. He can forgive sins, and he did. Moses said, show me your glory. He said, here it is. I'll have mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Right there on the cross of Christ, we see the loving kindness of God. That's his grace. For God so loved, he gave. He gave it all. Freely. Freely gave it all. Verse 7, he said, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Don't you love the thought of that? Being in the shadow of his wings. David said, under the covering, under the total covering, under your protection and your safety, under your safekeeping, hiding in thee, that's where I'll rejoice. I'll rejoice right there. Verse 8, he said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Followeth hard after means cleaves to. My soul cleaves to thee. You're my only hope. You're all that I have. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. That's Christ. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Who seeks to destroy my soul? My own flesh does. It's trying as hard as it can. It's trying as hard as it can. My feet do. My hands do. My old stony heart does. My mind does. It's trying as hard as it can to destroy my soul. Whose mouth speaks lies? The mouth of my own flesh does. But David said, you're my help, and I know that you're going to put away everything that is trying to take me down. I know you're going to put it away. Everything that does not bring glory to you, you're going to leave all of the dry and thirsty parts in the grave. And isn't that comforting? Everything that's wrong right here in this dry and thirsty land, you're going to take care of it. You're going to put it away. And all that's going to be left is that marrow and that fatness. Isaiah wrote, delight yourself in fatness. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. David cried, I'm so thirsty. Come to the water. All that's going to be left is that marrow and that fatness that we have in Christ. And in that, David said, I praise you and I bless you and I hope in you and I rejoice. I rejoice. Turn with me over to Psalm 42. This psalm perfectly describes this need and this help and this rejoicing. It's believed that David wrote this at the same time He wrote Psalm 63 while he was running from Absalom. And he's just feeling that same desperation, needing his God and needing the people and the worship. And he says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." There he is, just torn all to pieces. And God's Holy Spirit came and sent a flood of water to him. "Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." He said, "Just hang in there, soul. You're going to be praising him. You're going to praise him. You've asked, you will receive, and we will too. He will not leave us to ourselves. He will not." I want to close. Let me close by reading this precious poem by John Newton. "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer, a task and burden prove. Every trifle give me pain if I knew a Savior's love. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You who love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall. Should I grieve at what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I joy his saints to meet? Choose the ways I once abhorred. Find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord? Lord, decide this doubtful case, thou who art the people's son, since upon thy work of grace, if indeed it be begun, let me love thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray, if I have not loved before, help me to begin today." If that's what we need, and if that's what we plead, that's what we'll receive. That's what we'll receive. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys from thee. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Even me, even me. Let thy blessings fall on me. Ask him. Ask him. You'll receive. All right, let's all stand.